This is the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography of what you read about in God's Word. It is so important that you stay connected to that part of the world, and especially to the land of Israel. And on today's show, we're going to talk about something that is just breaking in the Middle East, just breaking in Israel. Over the last several days, we've been hearing reports about a deal between Israel and Hamas terrorists to release hostages that are being held there in Gaza. And to help us make sense of all of this is my good friend, Jonathan Feldstein, who is joining us directly from the land of Israel. He is the director of Genesis 123 Foundation. Jonathan, it is always a joy to have you here on the Middle East Report. And before we start talking about the breaking news and everything going on there in the land of Israel, tell everybody what Genesis 123 is and what you guys do.
Thank you for having me, as always, and it is always a delight. Genesis 123 Foundation has a unique mission to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel. And we always say in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. And what that means, it should be obvious, but what that means is we're not trying to copy and compete with other people, but try to create new ways to build upon these imperative relationships, the essential things that we have in common as Jews and Christians. And to build upon that, to create understanding, to build bridges both ways, that Jews are waking up to realize the love of Christians for Israel and how sincere that is. And it really must be both ways.
Genesis123.co is where you can learn more. Jonathan, we, over the last several days, have been hearing about this hostage deal between Israel and Hamas. And there's a lot of our AFR family members out there who are hearing about this in the news, but they may not remember why Israel is at war with Hamas there in the Gaza Strip. I want you to tell us why Israel is at war with Hamas. That will help people refresh in their minds what's going on before we talk about, you know, what's been happening over the last several days.
How essential, because people do forget, and especially in the U.S. media, it's very easy to get overwhelmed with a lot of, at best, half information, and often, and I've seen it, sadly, tremendous misinformation. We have to remember that October 6th, 2023, there was, for all intents and purposes, a ceasefire between Israel and Gaza, which had essentially all the trappings of a state, its own government, its own security system, control of the interior of its own borders, and many other elements that effectively created a de facto Palestinian Arab state, which they had already declared previously. Having said that, we woke up early in the morning on October 7th, literally, to rockets and missiles being fired all throughout Israel, including where I live, about 50 miles away from Gaza, thousands of them, which became the air cover for their massive ground invasion and what became a massacre. Thousands of Hamas terrorists and what they say are average citizens streamed across the border into dozens of Israeli communities alongside the border, kidnapped 251, massacred 1,200 in some of the most gruesome ways imaginable. And I know it's radio, we don't have visuals, and we don't need to go into the visuals. People were shot multiple times, people were beheaded, people were burnt, children executed in front of their parents, and parents executed in front of their children. They also came in with the quote-unquote average citizens looting, stealing everything that wasn't tied down. My son, who was called up that day along with my son-in-law, my son happened to be down there in one of those communities on the next day when there were still terrorists trying to kill Israelis. So they were in combat in the state of Israel, not in Gaza. And eventually we began our ground operation and started pushing back. Through that pushing back and through the capturing of many of the terrorists, we've been able to get intelligence. We've been able to realize that the intelligence that we had and the expectations that we had were not probably so up to speed, John. And that's probably some of what allowed the whole massacre to take place to begin with on October 7th of 23. And as a result of that, we finally began to learn the system. It's like starting a new job. You have to learn the ropes first. My son even said that they went into combat completely unprepared for the kind of combat that they were seeing and the terrorists that they were encountering. Unfortunately, as we speak in the middle of January of 25, the war has not only not ended, but in recent weeks, it's heating up again. Almost every day this week, there have been rockets fired again from Gaza. Even the day after the ceasefire hostage deal was announced, individuals scattered rocket fire at Israeli communities from Gaza. So somehow they're still holding on to their rockets and the ability to continue to fire. And by the way, my son has had the distinction of serving both in Gaza and in Lebanon. I woke up in America a month and a half ago to learn that we no longer had an Assad dictatorship in Syria. And my first thought was, goodness, is my son going to end up going into Syria now as well? We haven't really sent troops in on an active basis, but we've now got three fronts, active fronts, war where people are trying to kill us, and a jihadi group that's taken over Syria, all of them backed by Iran. And we should come back to that because ultimately Iran is the head of the octopus that needs to be dealt with. But this is where we stand right now. Some people have said Israel is retaliating. We're not retaliating. We're trying to defeat the evil of the terrorists, this Islamic evil that doesn't give credibility, that doesn't give legitimization to the biblical and historical fact that the Jewish people are God's chosen people, that God deeded this land to the Jewish people through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Israel is not only not part of the problem, but it's ultimately in the big dynamic picture of things, the essential cornerstone of the solution.
That's right. And we need to continue to pray for that situation there in Israel. And you gave us a great overview over the last few days, Jonathan. And this is what we want to talk about on the rest here of this Middle East report, is this hostage deal that everybody's been talking about between Hamas and Israel. So for just a moment and lay out what this hostage deal is and what it does for Israel, what it doesn't do for Israel, what it does for Hamas, all of the details.
Right. So it's funny because the default is to call it a hostage deal, whereas technically this is supposed to be a ceasefire, a part of which is the returning the release of the hostages that Hamas continues to hold in Gaza. Now, I think we're at 471 days. It's unthinkable. It's long. John, you and I, you're a little older than I, but we remember very well from our youth the Iran hostage crisis when they took 52 Americans for 444 days. We have now currently still 98 hostages who are in Gaza in captivity, arguably in situations that are much worse than even the Iranians held the American hostages in 1980 for a much longer period of time. So the situation is, our imperative is to get them back. The war that we're in the midst of has a couple of different pillars to get the hostages home. And when you speak to the soldiers who are fighting, they're very clear about what their mission is, to go and rescue the hostages. And that's their mission. The second mission is to defeat Hamas, to make sure that Hamas is eliminated as the terrorist entity that's controlling Gaza, not only because of the threats that they cause to Israel and deep, deep problems that they cause for their own people, for the Palestinian Arabs of Gaza, using them as human shields, hiding all kinds of military equipment behind them. That alone, what they do, is a war crime. And the third is to prevent Hamas from ever coming back and becoming a threat to Israel from Gaza. And what I'm reading into this deal is that we're not going to get all the hostages back so quick. The first stage is over 42 days. That's 6 weeks. Over 6 weeks, they're only going to be returning 33. And what the Israeli media is saying, 10 of them, we already know, are dead hostages, people who have already been killed by Hamas. So we're getting 10 corpses and 23 live human beings still. But what we're not doing is getting back all the hostages. What we're not doing, We're not eliminating their threat, and we're not eliminating Hamas control over Gaza. So there are a lot of people here in Israel who, as much as we all, and I really do believe that, there can't be an Israeli who doesn't want all of the hostages to be returned, but we're all in the midst of this tremendous grief, tremendous trauma, and more than rhetorical questions, wondering, hey, if we're not getting all the hostages back, and we're releasing terrorists, thousands of them, to get the hostages back that we're going to get back, and we're going to leave Hamas in control of Gaza to be able to regroup and rearm, then A, we haven't achieved any of the goals of this operation, and B, those lives who have been sacrificed, more than 400 soldiers in the ground operation alone, plus the tremendous number who were massacred on October 7th, then that's all in vain. And this is one of the things that's ripping us apart here in Israel today.
I'm afraid this is not a good deal for the Jewish people. We all want the hostages to come back. Part of this hostage deal would allow 50 Hamas terrorists to go across the border there in Israel into Egypt to get medical treatment. These are Hamas terrorists who have terrorized Israel, who have blood on their hands. Oh, and we're going to let them go get medical treatment while Israeli citizens who are held captive there in Gaza remain without any health provisions or anything, without even the Red Cross coming to see them. It's chaotic. Do you think that this is a good deal for the Jewish people in the land of Israel?
The short answer, John, is that's a super hard answer. You know, we have a biblical imperative. It's actually in the Torah to redeem captives. And it's not just that we have a sense of nationalism and we must bring these people home for the sense of the good of the state of Israel. It's a biblical principle, one of 613 commandments that Jews follow. And so we're balancing the compassion of that with the caution of what's unfortunately inevitable in releasing hundreds, or more likely thousands, terrorists, hardened terrorists, terrorists who have murdered. And I have a friend who was attacked back in 2010, and her friend, who was a Christian American with her, was murdered by these two terrorists. The two terrorists might be released, literally with blood on their hands. And I wonder how President Trump feel about that, you know, releasing the terrorists who killed an American as they're taking credit for freeing two Americans. Is it a good deal? It's a good deal, John, from the perspective that we choose life. That's the biblical imperative. But we're doing so, it's a bad deal because we're doing so in a way that's going to continue to threaten life. And we have to remember, and you know it, I'm sure, but probably most of your listeners don't, the mastermind of the October 7th massacre was a now, thank God, dead Hamas terrorist by the name of Yahya Sinwar. He was released from Israeli prison in a previous hostage deal when Israel released more than 1,000 terrorists in order to get back one soldier who had been taken captive and held by Hamas, if I remember correctly, for 5 years. So the question we're asking is, who's the next Sinwar among the thousands who are going to be released? And what is that doing for the soul of the people? Maybe we're providing comfort for the families of the hostages, for sure we are, that are being released. But what's it going to do for the soul of the people whose loved ones were murdered by the terrorists that are going to be released?
I want to ask you a hard question, and that is, you know, after months and months of fighting there in Gaza, it seems like Hamas is degraded, but they're still in power, it seems like. And why has Israel not totally and completely defeated Hamas? This is a difficult question, and I think a lot of people are asking the question, Jonathan. Here's the thing, Jonathan, this is what I've been thinking a lot about. You know, when you go to a carnival or a fair and you'll see these games, it's called whack-a-mole. And
yes, exactly.
You take this club and these moles kind of pop up out of the holes and you hit these moles. And when you get them all down, they're all down and they're not going to come up again. The problem is Hamas terrorists are not moles. They are demonic entities from the pit of hell. They are terrorists, and they keep popping up. So Israel goes into the southern part of Gaza, takes care of business, and then they go into the northern part of Gaza, and they're taking care of business. But then it seems like Hamas just pops up somewhere else. How in the world is Israel going to handle this going forward?
Right. So part of the reason that we're not physically eliminating them all is because they're hiding among civilians and among our hostages. And so at the risk of killing more civilians and at the risk of killing our own hostages, Israel, because it's a moral army, has yet to do what the only way of physically eliminating, which is a massive campaign. And we could do that. We could probably do that. But here's the bigger question, John, and you already alluded to it. It's evil personified, this Islamic ideology. It's nice to give our website Genesis123.co so people can connect, but I specifically want to call people's attention to a link on that site, which is called, we actually have a separate site for it, solutionforpeaceingaza.com. What's the problem here, John? It's not only the physical presence of the terrorists. It's not only that they built a network of tunnels that's longer than the New York subway system. It's not only that they've had billions of dollars invested in arms and infrastructure that where the terrorists can hide and threaten their own civilians. It's the fact that their children are raised on this obscene Islamic ideology that we have no rights here, that their mission is to kill us all. And that's why I'm calling the attention to solutionforpeaceingaza.com, because what we're saying there is the only way to counteract that, the only way actually eventually to have true peace is to change their ideology, is to affect them with a love for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And understand, as I said before, that Israel is not part of the problem, but Israel is the cornerstone of the solution. And until we do that, it's more of a theological whack-a-mole, because you can't defeat an idea until people absorb and accept a better idea. And on that level, if we don't act, and I do believe that our proposals at solutionforpeaceingaza.com is the only solution that can actually bring true peace, if we don't act on that, then no matter what happens with this deal, ceasefire, no ceasefire, 33 hostages, 43 hostages, 23 hostages, it doesn't matter, we're going to find ourselves exactly back in the same place. And that when my 2 and 4 and 6-year-old grandsons all begin their military service, they're going to be confronting jihadi peers in Gaza who grew up believing that their mission in life to praise Allah is to murder all of us.
It really is a heart issue. And what we have here is the jihadi element. We got terrorists who have a heart of death and not a heart of life, as the Jewish people
do.
As the people who are listening to this broadcast today do, they have a heart for life, and they value life. And sadly, you have got Hamas, you've got Hezbollah, you've got Iran, and we could go on and on about all the terrorists who do not have a heart for life and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they have a heart of death, a demonic heart of death to kill anybody who does not believe that the way they believe or is not part of their dark way of looking at life. So it is horrific. It is tragic. We just want everybody to connect with what you are doing there, Jonathan, at Genesis123.co. That's Genesis123.co. You can get a lot of details about your organization and find out how to connect with what you guys are doing, because you guys are really doing a lot there in the land of Israel. And you've got some articles about this whole ceasefire thing that's going on right now. All Israel News, you can Google that one. All Israel News, check that out. And townhall.com, you've got an article up there. In fact, you've got regular articles on all of these places. You are a regular contributor, and you are very, very articulate there in the land of Israel. And I want to just wrap up things. How can people pray for you, pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people, pray for the government there. I mean, there's a lot of prayer requests, but how can we engage in that?
So how can they pray? First of all, I just want to say, do not diminish the value of prayer and how much that means. We don't know when God is always answering our prayers, but I want to tell you and everyone listening how important that is and appreciate it. I will say this. The first thing, which is the least intuitive, is we need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for God to change their hearts. You know, in Exodus, he hardened Pharaoh's heart more than a couple of times. He can harden hearts and he can soften hearts. And I would love to see God waving his wand and softening their hearts. And we suddenly wake up one morning and discover that we have 2.3 million Gazans who love us as compared to 2.3 million Gazans who want to hate us. We need to pray. We must pray. It just brings tears to my eyes because it's hard to say, bring all the hostages home, but we must, especially with a deal like this that only has stage one for 33, and that leaves 65 behind, and that leaves 65 families who are afraid that they may never, ever see their loved ones again. So we need to pray for the hostages and pray for their families and pray for strength and pray for the soldiers that they should be safe and successful in continuing their mission to release the hostages, to eliminate Hamas, and to keep Israel safe. And the last thing I'll say, there are a lot of grieving people here in Israel. We have tens of thousands of soldiers who have been injured. We need to pray for them, for their physical and emotional recovery. And there are hundreds of widows and thousands of orphans, just of soldiers who were killed in battle alone. And we must pray for them and their strength, and especially these kids who are going to grow up without a father, know that their fathers died as heroes, and pray that their tremendous sacrifice won't be in vain.
That's Jonathan Feldstein. He is the founder and director of Genesis 123 Foundation. And I encourage you to find out more about that organization, connect with them, and find out how you can get involved with what's happening there in the land of Israel. They've got a lot of ways for you to do that. Genesis123.co is where you can connect. Genesis123.co. And let's do what Jonathan said. Let's pray for everything going on there in the land of Israel. And we're going to continue to talk about this ceasefire hostage deal there in the land of Israel with news director Fred Jackson from American Family News. Give us your impressions of this ceasefire hostage deal there in Israel.
I think what people have to realize, this is a ceasefire agreement. It is not a peace agreement. Two very different things. There is going to be a pause right now. What we are told, 33 hostages released. Of those 33, probably what you're seeing is the remains of 10 of these individuals. Somewhere along the way in the last 15 months, either they were killed on October 7, 2023, and their bodies taken into Gaza, or they have died while in captivity. So what we're hearing is at the most probably about 23 that are alive. They are supposed to release some of the women, some of the children, some of the older hostages in this initial exchange. The big question, John, is when this phase is done, what happens next? President Trump is going to make a significant difference. Now, by the time we do get to the end of this ceasefire, 42-day ceasefire accord, there is, I think, going to be a lot more pressure on Hamas to make a more significant deal in this. There is no way that at the end of the day that you can allow Hamas to govern Gaza again. It can't happen. Because if it does, we're right back to square one. And all of the fighting that has gone on over the last 15 months will have been for naught. Many Israeli citizens would not put up with that. I've seen demonstrations by the parents of the Israeli soldiers who lost their lives in the last 15 months. And they said, our sons and daughters have died over this. And for you, Israel, to just hand Gaza back to Hamas, that's not going to work for us. I think for Netanyahu politically, there has to be a resolve. So right now, what Hamas wants They want Israel totally out of Gaza, and they plan to rebuild. Just watching an interview just in recent days with a Hamas leader, he was celebrating October 7th, 2023. He said it was a great victory for us. We have to be clear, there's nothing in the mindset of these Hamas leaders in the way of, we made a mistake. No, they are proud of what they did. And they have no intent of giving up power. So that's where the tension is. With Donald Trump, I believe he stands by the principle, and the bottom line is that Hamas has to be gone. So what's going to happen after day 42 of this ceasefire? I think with Donald Trump in the Oval Office, Israel will once again have a dependable ally in the United States, unlike what it has faced with the Biden administration over the last 4 years.
It's also really important to note that this is not all of the hostages. There are still some that will remain.
Almost 70.
Yeah, until the end, you know, of this deal, or until they can get the rest of them home. So there's a lot of suffering going on. We really want people who are listening today to pray for everything that's going on there in the Middle East. That is vital.
Yes. God's hand is there. We know that. God wants our prayers and our petitions for the peace there. And we need to be praying for a resolve in the hearts of Donald Trump and his cabinet, his war room, that they will seek what is best. And what is best for Israel is what God wants for Israel. I think God's hand has been upon Israel over the last 15 months. They not only have taken on Hamas, they took on Hezbollah. They bombed in Iran. So I think you're going to have to probably see more of that kind of resolve coming out of the ceasefire in order to get the desired result, which is Hamas out of control in Gaza and Israel secure in whatever takes place, whatever entity ends up controlling in Gaza.
That's Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News. Please download the American Family News app. You can get that wherever you get your apps. Just search for American Family News and it'll pop up right there at the top. American Family News, get that on your mobile device. Let's continue to pray for everything going on in Israel. Emotions there are very high. I've talked to a lot of people in Israel. They're overjoyed at the thought of these hostages coming home, but they are paying a very high price for this. That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. I want to encourage you to download a podcast of the show. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts, and you can go to AFR.net, and you can download it there as well. Thank you for listening to the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley.